Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
If I were an apple, I'd be very unhappy traveling 4,000 miles or more. From far off Tasmania in a shipping container to a shelf in a New Jersey store. Why should I be tortured when some New Jersey orchard would be totally thrilled to the core? To pick me and crate me and load me and freight me not 4,000 miles but 4.
In a career that spans 5 decades, some 24 albums, and several Grammy Awards, multi-talented singer-songwriter guitarist Tom Chapin has covered an incredible amount of creative ground. In addition to his work as a recording artist and concert performer, Chapin has acted on Broadway as well as working extensively in films, television, and radio. As a music maker, he has maintained 2 long and productive parallel careers, both as a highly respected contemporary folk artist and as a pioneer in the field of children's music. He'll be performing a family concert at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Sunday, February 9th at 3 o'clock, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Tom Chapin back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, good morning, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's very nice to have you aboard. You know, we put together a tribute show for Pete Seeger yesterday, and your name was at the top of the list, but we knew you were going to be on today, so we figured we would wait till today to have you talk a little bit about your recollections of Pete Seeger. I know you have you've put a lot of things up in your Facebook page and so forth, but having it kind of sink in for a day or two now, how are you dealing with this?
Well, I'm mourning, as a good part of the folk world is, and a good part of the people who live along the Hudson are, and music fans. It feels like a member of the family has died. It's one of those things where, you know, he was 94 years old and getting pretty frail. But I did a concert with him as recently as November.
Yeah.
In Beacon, New York, to celebrate the 65th anniversary of the start of the Weavers, and with a band called the Work of the Weavers, which is a band that's doing those great songs. And he came in looking every bit of 94 with his daughter Tina, and sat backstage and we talked, and he got a little bit of food, and then about time to go on stage, and it was like the resurrection.
Yeah.
It was like the old war horse going to war. You know, he just got up and got on stage and was just marvelous. And it's, you know, and he was so but the larger sense is, here was one of the great men of our time. My buddy Scott Ainsley wrote on this blog, posted, Mandela and Seeger, my oh my, heaven is in for it.
yeah. Absolutely. When did your paths first cross?
Well, I mean, the first crossed by record, by recording in the days of, you remember LPs.
Yeah.
My aunt, I was 12 years old, summer of 1957, I think. And that's 55 years ago. We heard a recording called The Weavers at Carnegie Hall, which opens with Pete's banjo, ding, ding, the ling, the ling, the ling, the ling, and the crowd going nuts. And it changed our life. You know, my brother Harry was 14, I was 12, and Steve was 11, my brother Steve, and we became the Chapin Brothers because of the Weavers and Pete Seeger. Harry got the Pete Seeger book and began about how to play the 5-string banjo. And he started learning that, and I did too. I you know, Harry would learn something, then I would learn it the next week. And I never expected, I was just writing this to a friend, I never expected that the last 30 years or so I've been doing, you know, all kinds of benefit concerts with Pete and spent a lot of time with him. And if you told me when I was 12 and I'd heard that, I would have been, felt like, that was totally impossible. The first time I met him in person was at a funeral, actually, of my mother's cousin died. And it turned out that his wife had gone to school with Toshi Seeger, Pete's wonderful wife. And so we went for this kind of, a week after the death, we went to this kind of Quaker memorial, not in a church, but, you know, at a farm, and everybody sat around and reminisced. And there, who comes but Pete and Toshi? And of course, he was a hero of mine, but I'd never met him in person. I met him backstage and talked to him a little bit. And then I sat next to him and Toshi, and about halfway through this wonderfully quiet, you know, memorial service where people got up and talked about Arthur and remembered the great things about him, all of a sudden, Pete pulls up his 12-string and goes, "Brong, to everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn." And I said, man, you know, it was like, this is the perfect song. This is the perfect person to be singing it. And I feel blessed to be here.
When, and I don't know if such things are possible to quantify, but can you look at your career and what you have done? I mentioned the many facets of your career, but certainly musically, can you feel where he was such a great influence on you and where he had the
absolutely
greatest impact?
Well, the two things. One is the thing that people have been thinking about it and talking about is his social action, and of course that's been hugely important, a way of showing all folk singers how you can use music to move things and work toward the light. But musically, he was an amazing, amazing musician, and you forget that because he made it seem so easy. But his and also his whole he always deflected everything away from himself.
You
see these interviews and they say, "What's the most important thing you ever did?" And then he starts talking about something else. You know, he doesn't want to talk about himself. Never did. And as long as I've known him, one of the great things happened when Harry and I did a. Harry's been gone now 32 years, but when he was alive, we did a bunch of benefits together with Harry and Pete. And I remember sitting backstage, and a reporter said to Pete, "You spent your whole life doing causes, you know, concerts for causes, and doing all this stuff. Has it made any difference?" And Pete said something I'll never forget. He said, "I don't know, but I do know I've met the good people, people with live hearts, live eyes, and live minds." And in a sense, that was a hugely important thing, the idea that you work, you do good work, and you align yourself with people who are trying to do good work, and you let the chips fall where they may. The other thing, of course, you learned so much musically from him. I learned how to lead a song. You know, people say how you always get people singing. Well, guess where I learned that from? <You know? laughs> Pete lining out a song. He told me that he learned it from Josh White. It's a very black church thing, you know. To everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. You know, you say the words just before the singing, so you know the tune, and people just are, you know, without even knowing it, they start to sing. Without being saying, "Please sing," you don't do that. You just say, "Help me." You know, "This land is your land. This land is, you know, from the redwood forest." You know, and he would do that, and I learned that very early from him, and I've done it ever since. And I'll be doing it when I come up your way to Troy.
You're going to be performing a family concert at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Sunday, February 9th. At 3 o'clock. And you know, I was struck yesterday because I remember the first album that my parents ever bought me was Pete Seeger's kids album, and we were speaking for
the Birds, Beasts, and Little Fishes.
Yes, and yeah. It was. And my mother had all she had was Pete Seeger records, but that was the one that she gave to me. I mean, do you? Did that have any influence? Did that type of understanding what folk music could say to children and the crossover that it could have, when did that start to strike you?
Well, I kind of knew it all along. If you're in the folk world, Tom Paxton, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Woody
right.
Guthrie,
right.
You go down the line, and folk singers sing for everybody. Remember Tom Paxton saying, we make our own events. You know, you arrive at a place and you suddenly there's a 4-year olds running around as well as grandparents, and you have to find a way to make that work, you know. And so Pete was certainly part of that, but I think I learned it kind of from the zeitgeist of being in the folk world. I really didn't have that record, and I'd heard him do, you know, all those great folk songs. In a sense, the one that kind of got me really connected with the kids' songs was Raffi, who of course learned from the Canadian folk singer who was a huge children's performer when my kids were young, and he took those same songs and wrote some of his own. But it really is Pete was part of that thing of that you know, in the middle of a concert, especially for adults, he would do Abby Yo-Yo, you know?
Right.
and everybody would be totally thrilled with it and laughing, and you know, made us all children. I mean, that's the thing about folk music is particularly wonderful for families, and the idea of people coming together, families coming together, children, parents, grandparents, and in a room with someone, and they're all connecting with stories and songs and participating, is part of what drew me to this whole thing way back when, and still does. It's a very magical thing, and of course, in some ways it's hard to know how much I learned from Pete, because the Weavers and Pete and Woody Guthrie and all they set the bar, you know. What do they say? We stand on the backs of giants, and it's very true, you know. So it's almost hard to quantify how much I've learned. I just know that it's enormous, and it's a great blessing to have been close to him, and to watch him work, and to watch his approach to life.
You know, what you like better is a silly question to ask you, I think, as far as the concerts that you do. But when you do a family show and you do a show for children, I would think that it would just be, that there would be more joy in just watching children connect to the music.
Well, it's more than that. It's watching children with their parents. I love doing both. I love, you know, but
sure.
The thing that's I always call my music family music, because I'm not a babysitter, I'm not a mime, I'm not a magician. So I hate it when people park their kids down in front and then go in the back and talk and smoke. You know, it's really about sitting with your children, and my concerts are and together we will all make the music and have an, you know, it's pretty rare these days, in a day of when kids grow up with, instead of being face to face, or often face to screen. You know,
right.
How many times you got into a restaurant and the father and mother are on their cell phones, or we're looking at the cell phones, and the kids are doing iPod or something. You know, some little thing. They're playing games with a machine, and so these it gets increasingly rare, increasingly magical to have everybody in a room in the same container. You know. A speech therapist once said, a song is a container. And I said, what does that mean? Well, it means that when it's happening, everybody's in the same place. Mm-hmm. Everybody is connected in a very magical way. And that's what I do. That's what Pete Seeger taught us how to do. And so it's the idea of watching families connect and sing along is pretty magical.
Well, that magic will be taking place on Sunday, February 9th at 3 o'clock at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. Tom Chapin will be performing a family concert on that date. It's at 3 o'clock on Saturday, February 9th. You can find out more information by going to our website. All the details are there. WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable. Tom Chapin, thank you so much for being with us and for sharing your memories this morning. A delight, as always.
Thanks so much, Joe. And tell your folks that my website is tomchapin.com. Lots of info there as well.
Tomchapin.com. A lot of info there, yes. A wonderful website, tomchapin.com. Tom, we'll see you in Troy. Thanks so much.
So looking forward to it. And do me a favor, Joe. Warm it up a little bit for me, will you?
Yeah, we will. We'll try. We'll put in the order. We'll see what happens. Thanks, Todd. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
You can roll like a wheel, because you know you can deal, and feel it'll be okay. If something strange comes your way, you can change, it's okay, and say to each new surprise,